Jesus' name, I'm headed to a new direction. All things have passed away.
You are tuned in. The word is so real, tell a friend. We're trying to get right free of sin. You are now listening to the words of truth. Break the code. Sermons from Bishop Kelstone. And when life's feeling low, you can always listen to the words of truth.
The month of February, this is our focus on the family. Everybody say focus on the family. And this is our focus on the family month, and we've been talking about family because family is important. It is important to God. And as we shared with you in our earlier, that family is God's idea. Family is God's idea. And we've been talking about the man. We've been talking about the husband. We've been talking about the woman, and we've been talking about the wife, and so today we're going to talk about parenting and children, and because children is a part of the family structure. It's a part of the family structure, and children are the product of mom and dads, husband and wives. They got part of you in them, and part of the man in them, part of the woman. And so children become adults. Those of us that are adults now, at one time or another, you were a child. And we want to talk about these different challenges write my book right there, baby. I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you. And so we want to discuss some of these things. Have y'all been enjoying this family connection series that we've been? Is it helping anybody? Has it helped anybody? Amen. I praise God. I thank God because you guys been reaching out, talking about the series, and it's so encouraging how you guys are responding. And I pray that it's helping you and enlightening you and open your eyes to different things. Amen. I wanted to start off today by this statement, and I want you to grab what I'm getting ready to say. I want to expand your thoughts when it comes to how you view God, okay? And the first thing I want to say is that God cares more for you than just your soul. Now, I want you to get that. Because some people that, when it comes to God, the only thing you think God cares about is your spiritual side. So, we talk about worship and we talk about the spiritual things of God. Because we assume we think that that's all God cares about. But why I say that, God cares about your marriage. He cares about your children. He cares about your relationships. God cares about your finances. Just don't think God cares about your shout or your praise. He cares about the whole you. And now, the reason why I say that is because I need you to view that God cares about all those things so you would invite God in all those things. Because some of us, we only invite God in the spiritual things. Or we invite God when we're in trouble. But God wants to be in every aspect of your life. He wants to be a part of your decision making. God cares about how you spend your money. He cares about, if you're single, he cares about who you date. He cares about who you marry. He cares about the things that's in your marriage. He does. Come on, I need you to view God like that. Single people, God cares about who you decide to go out on a date with. So because God cares about that, you just can't go out with anybody. I'm going to close this out next week. We're going to talk about family, friends, and acquaintance. family, friends, and acquaintance. And we're gonna break those things down. But I want you to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Very familiar scripture, Proverbs 22 and 6. I want to get that. Praise team, y'all went in today, didn't they? Didn't they go in? I want to thank God, Brother Jalen, for coming, amen, playing for us this morning. Let's celebrate, amen. All the way from Norfolk, Hampton, Portsmouth. Okay, that's right. Portsmouth, Virginia. You know, so we praise God for him, amen, coming down and playing, amen. I'm telling y'all, amen, God is doing some great things, I'm telling you. Proverbs 22 and 6, Proverbs 22 and 6, very familiar scripture. And this scripture in Proverbs 22 and 6, amen. If you have it, say, we got the bread. I guess they're getting it together to get it on the screen. Is it on? It ain't on my screen. Is it on their screen? Okay, all right, it's coming. All right, Proverbs 22 and 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to read it again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I want you to understand that the scripture does use the word he, but we don't want to just focus on the gender. So all you ladies don't say, well, I ain't talking about me because it said he. I'm going to put that out there. Okay. I want you to look at this particular scripture because this particular scripture has a multi-view on it. It's not, a lot of times we put this all on the child or we put it all on the parent. Okay. First of all, we got to look up where it says train up a child. Now, the first thing you have to understand is that in order for me to train anybody to do anything, I first got to know how to do it. How do I train you to do something I don't know how to do? So I'm gonna I can't train you how to bake a cake. Because first of all, I don't know how to bake one. So when we see train up a child in the way he should go, first of all, the first emphasis is based on the parents is that you have to increase your knowledge to make sure that what you're passing on to your children, it's good stuff. Because you can't pass on nothing to your children you don't possess. Okay? That you got to understand that while you're sitting up here wondering why your kids acting crazy, and you tell me, I don't know where they get there from. I don't know why they acting like that. You only pass to your children what you have. So if you're limited, you can only train somebody something that you first know. I did an amazing research this week. It, man, I'm telling you. It really made me jump back. It really did. So I was doing this research about family, children, parenting. And this is what I come up with, Ken. It's crazy. It's they took a day. And this was a gospel training. So, and it actually challenged. And it says that we as Christians do a poor job of training up our child when it comes to Christianity. They had a group of kids, all different ages, okay, adolescents, teenagers, and they went through there, and this is what they did, not speak up. They asked those children basic, what I would call basic biblical questions. Now, these were children of parents that churched at least twice a month. Okay? And they asked him basic questions. One of the questions was, the boy was like, he was in kindergarten, and they asked him, like, who was Jesus' mother? And he said, my mama. I thought that was cute. Basic, like, how many books in the Bible? How many disciples? Now, watch this. They did horrible. They couldn't answer basic biblical questions. He went back and ask them secular questions like, what's the top song on the charts? And they would spin them out like that. They were asking them who were actors in certain movies. They would ask a rap song and say, who sang it? They were spinning it out just like that. And so the basis of the study was showing is that how the church is competing for the minds of our young people against the world. And it says that the world is whipping us. Because here's what the three things. They said there's three things that the world sells, all right? Sex, money, and violence. Amen. Y'all agree with that? Sex, money, and violence. And they says the world constantly are throwing these three things at our children. He says, video games, violence, and money. And watch this. And if you ask them to come to church twice a week, we churching them to death. Y'all got quiet. So then they did this. They did this breakdown. So I need y'all to help me, okay? It talked about, and this is basically geared towards they did this basically towards the teenagers. So I need y'all's help. What, if your child play a sport, they play a sport, how many hours a day do they spend at practice? So, 2 hours, two. So you, or if they're in school, it's usually they get out at 3:30, they start practice. Well, some of our young people, right, they go to practice. Also, we'll say 2 hours average, all right? And the average practice 4 days a week, right? So how many hours is that? That's 8 hours in 1 week, right? And the reason that they do that, and 8 hours is very minimum if you want to be great. Because if you're trying, and I remember when my son's was on two of Gretna Hawk's state football championships, and I remember they had these things where they were practicing when school went. They did two-a-days. So you had to be at practice at 9 in the morning, and then you had to come back and be at practice at 4 and 5 in the afternoon. They were practicing twice a day. Now, and the selling pitch was, if you want to be great, it takes this. Amen. Don't go to sleep on me. It takes extra input to be great. Right? So minimum 8 hours in a week. All right? Minimum. How long? And then you have, we'll say Friday, it's the game. How long do an average game take? All right, let's back up. On game day, now I know when we was coaching, I was coaching girls basketball. If we had a game and school got out at 3, we didn't let them go home. They had to stay there. We fed them. And the game won't till 7. Talk to me. But when they got out of school, they couldn't leave. No, you stay here. We're going to feed you because the game don't start at what time? That's 4 hours. So they'll do the homework and relax. And if we hit the travel time was in that. But you won't go home. So that's 4 then. The game started. We start at 7. Games usually last 2 hours. So that's 6 hours. Add that to your practice time. You didn't spend average 14, 15 hours a week just in sports. And we can't get them to stay in church 30 minutes. Get quiet on me. If we church them more than a week, people will say, you churching them people to death. And so in this teaching, it was saying that the adults that we have now, that were children, the adults that we have now, are not a product of church. It is a product of the world. Why? That's all we sell them. That's it. I mean, I guarantee you right now, there ain't a child in here that don't have a video game. They might not have the Bible out, but I promise you they got a game. Y'all picked the wrong service to come to. I promise you. I promise you that almost every child in here got a video game. But how many scriptures can they tell you? And if you ask them to come to church on Sundays for 2 hours, it'll kill them. Now, I'm going to tell you, we are the only religion that does that. We're the only one. Muslims, they don't do it. It's mandated. It's no option. Now, we're talking about Proverbs 22 and 6. It says, train up a child. All right? Now, the Hebrew meaning of the word training is give them direction. Because a child don't supposed to know. I got to ask you this question right here. Please, please, please. Who running your house? A child doesn't supposed to know. This is why they have parents. This is why they have training, because training means set direction. Give them direction. Here it is. With this direction is that you cannot give direction without discipline. I'm going to give it to you in the Bible. This is all about training. Training is what? Giving direction. But the issue is you cannot give directions to a child when you don't have direction. So you're asking a child to support a God that you don't really serve. This ain't the right Sunday to go to sleep. If your neighbor go to sleep, nudge him, wake him up. Proverbs 22 and 6, what did it say? Do what? Train up a child in what way? In the way they what? I'm going to give you direction. Let me tell you something for all of you parents that's walking around giving your children options, you're wrong. When I was growing up, we didn't have an option on what we're going to have for dinner. I'm in the wrong church. Mom and dad didn't come to me, what you want to eat? No, you ate what was there. Train up a child in the way that they should go. There ain't no option. This is how you're going to do it. What is the Greek and Hebrew meaning of training? Setting direction. This is how we're going to do it. Now, the challenge that we have is that our kids go to school with kids that have options. So they come back home and say, well, Fred's mama. Y'all ain't never been through that. I have. Well, Fred's mama. And that's what we say. Do I look like Fred? I ain't Fred's mama. You want to be living over there with Fred? It's about setting direction. As a parent, you have been given the responsibility to set directions for your child. And God holds you responsible. And many of us struggle with setting those directions. It's because, guess what? Our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we say that he's our Father, and he's supposed to, because he is our Father and we are his children, he sets for us directions without options. Boy, I'm preaching good right there. Because he's our father and we are his children. And the father loves his children. So he gives us direction, which is the word of God. And he don't give us options. God ain't never came down here and said, how you like that scripture? You agree with it or no? What you think about that? He's the father. And we even said, our father. You take ownership that he's your, he's my father. Well, if he's your father, he set a direction for you without your options. Am I preaching all right? He said, train up a child in the way they should go. Look, this is, but remember, the training part is in trouble because many of us struggle training because we can't tell our child to do something we're not doing. I'm in trouble, so I'm going to say it. You can't tell your child to wait till they get married. Because you got somebody in the back of your room. And they know that they ain't your cousin. So here you are telling your daughter, you better not. And they looking at you like, huh? They did a survey about sex education. And you know, back when I was growing up, they said, you know, you got to sit down and talk with your sons about the birds and the bees. Y'all remember that? About the birds and the bees. No, they don't talk about the birds and the bees no more. Because they said sex education says by the time a child is 8 years old, they've already been introduced to it. Now, don't lose your breath. I didn't say they had already had it. They've been introduced to it through social media, public schools. Come on. Your children, and you were here thinking they don't know. They ain't already had that conversation. At eight. You think they playing with Tonka toys and Barbie dolls? At eight. They talking about kissing somebody. They tell me I want some sugar. Hello. And some of this is because of the things that we watch on TV. I'm in the wrong. Conversations, they overhear you. Train up with a child. And so what we do is, because we don't want the training to come back on us, because we ain't doing it, so we just don't train. So we let daycare train them. We let schools train them. We let everybody else train them because we know we ain't doing it. Go down to verse 15, Proverbs 22, 15, because I want you to see something about your child before you, I need you to see this before you kill them. This is very important. Proverbs 22, 15. Are we there? All right, listen. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Listen, you don't have to teach a child how to be foolish. It's just in them. Because they're your seed. And there was a time you was foolish. Notice I said there was a time. I didn't say you were now. In Jesus' name, Father and the Holy Ghost. Foolishness is... It's trapped in them. They can't help it. They were born into a sinful world, and when you're born into sin, foolishness is bound up. So they are going to do foolish stuff. Expect it. Jesus, I just had a flashback. They're going to do it. They're going to do stuff and look at you and be like, oh, no. You did it. And still do it in Jesus' name. It's there. So quit looking at your child like they're alien. It's there. It's in there. Foolishness is bound in the heart. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. It's in the heart of a child. It's there. They can't help it. It's in their heart. They're you. Bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. All right, now I want to take this a little deeper, because first thing when we heard rod of correction, we said, beat them. And that's not Bible. That's not the whole thing. That's not the whole thing. Okay, it's not the whole thing. I didn't say, it's going to come a time you have to use it. But here's the thing I want you to understand. The scripture says, the rod of correction. So you see the rod part, but you miss the correction part. Because every rod is not a rod of correction. Some of that rod is a rod of anger. It's a rod of I'm mad. That's not correction. Whenever there's a rod used, you got to make sure correction comes behind it. Oh. So I whoop you, but then there's no correction behind it. And because you're whooping your child to try to prove a point, not move them towards correction. Because correction means now I got to take time and say, let me tell you what you did wrong. And this is why you're getting a whooping. It's because, watch this. First of all, everything, here's what needs to be explained to a child when they're getting a whooping. You need to explain to them what the expectation was. I expected this and you gave me that. Never whoop a child if a child never understood the expectation. Yeah, I'm gonna say that again. You should never ever whip a child when you have never set an expectation. You know, why are you whooping? And let me tell you, when I thought about this, I thought about Taiwan. This scene came back to my mind. And so it's going to be good. So this scene, I said, you know what I said? Never whoop a child without setting expectations. And my mind went back to when Reese was real little. And Reese wanted to go outside and play. And Taiwan and Manny said, okay, go outside, but do not go in the front yard. Because in the front yard was where the road was at. What did they set? They set an expectation. Says, go outside, but do not go in the front. So we all sitting in the house. Doo, 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 doo. You remember that? We sitting in the house, and we looked out the window in the front yard. And guess who was walking down towards the road? Because why? Foolishness is in the heart of a child. Doggo Reese walking down towards the road. I mean, just highway bound. And Tawana just flipped out of fear, jumped up, ran down there and got him because he was going towards the road. He was going towards the road. She jumps up, she goes down to get him, and she grabs him. And then she got a whooping. Just hurt my little heart. But the whooping was because the expectation was not met. How many things that you are scolding your children over in areas where you have never set the expectation? And here's one of the ones that really gets me. It's that how we want our children to be dedicated to school while you slack at work. We were raised, you're going to get up and get on that bus and you're going to be on time, you're going to be late. And you late every day at work. Like they can't see it. So it brings it to this point right here, is that I was at home yesterday, getting ready to get, and so little Kirby, he was there, and little Kirby walks up and he says, He said, Daddy doing an email. And I was like, okay, I ain't paying no attention. Daddy doing the email, you know. So Later on, First Lady came and brought little Kirby and said, ask Pastor what you want to ask him. And he's like, no. Well, here was the story. Here's what he wanted to ask. He said, Pastor, where you work at? Reason being, because when he sees daddy doing email, it's associated to daddy working. So when he says daddy doing an email, daddy working. So he wants to see, he wants to know, what you do? You ain't sending no email, what you do? So I said to him, I said, I preach. He said, too easy. He said, that's too easy. So look here, you want to come help me preach this? He said, that's too easy. That's all you do? I said, yeah. He said, too easy. But children, here's the thing I'm saying on this. Your children got eyes and they got ears. That he sees, he sees when daddy doing email, daddy working. He didn't see pastor doing no email, so he won't know what pastor do. So if they can see and they can hear, then everything you say and everything you do has an effect on their image. He says, but the rod of correction, don't whoop without setting expectations. I expect for you to go to school, and I expect for you to behave yourself. That conversation's got to, I expect certain grades in my house. That's an expectation. And when the expectation ain't going, when the expectation is not met, correction has to follow. Okay? Now, I don't have time to go into this, but I'll get into this. Now, let's talk about that rod of correction, okay? A child does not need a whooping for everything. First of all, y'all heard me say this, and I'm going to put this out here, and I need y'all to catch it. You should never, ever be whooping your child with your hand. It got real quiet right there. You're not whooping them. You're teaching them how to fight. And you whooping them with your hand, and you going to school wondering why they're putting their hands on other kids. Because you just trained them that when you upset, swing them hands. Because that's what you do. I'll smack the taste out. No. Put the taste back in them. You should never, ever whoop your child with your hand. Wrong. That's the wrong message. You need a switch. That's what you need. That's the rod. That's the switch, not your hand. Because guess what? You need them to be afraid of the switch, not your hand. And see, you wondering why every time you reach out to hug them, they jump. Hallelujah. Boy, that right there came right through the middle of the aisle. Yeah, you wondering why they jump. They don't know if you're going to hug them or hit them. Teach the people. I'm trying my best. And so you got to understand, they need to know that your hand represents love. It's the rod that represents correction. Are you hearing me? You don't need to grab the first thing out. No. The Bible said the rod of correction. That there should be a rod of correction. So when they see the switch, they ought to know it's trouble. All right? Are you hearing me? You hitting them with your hand, you teaching them how to fight. That's why they're going to go to school, and when some kids say something to them they don't like, they're going to bust them in the mouth. Because that's what you do at the house. And then you're going to whoop them for busting the kid up in the mouth. But they got the busting in the mouth from you because that's what you do to them when you... I'm in the wrong church. Are y'all hearing me? So you should never do that. You shouldn't be hitting children with your hands, okay? Because Proverbs 13, you ain't got to go there. It says, withhold not corrections from the child. Now watch this. Your child need corrected. Okay, I got one amen on that one. Your child need corrected. Okay? You got, you know why you got to correct? I know you think they're angels, but they got some foolishness in them. And so your child, he says, withhold not correction from your child, for if thou beateth him with the rod, he shall not die. Y'all, I'm still living. And I got a whole bunch of whoopers in Jesus' name. I got them. Whooping ain't going to kill them. They ain't going to die. They're going to cry. But they ain't going to die. Okay. Now, let me get to this. These are only suggestion tips. You got to run your household the way you want it. But I got to put this out here because I want to help you. I really do. Okay. There comes a time that in raising your children, there are, I call them, their steps. When that child is first born and you bring that child home from the hospital, okay, the first thing you're doing at that point, the raising starts then. Okay? Now, this is only suggested. Don't y'all take this. So my thing is, and this, I was like this. When my children first came home from the hospital, all them people ain't coming to my house. I like you. But I got to be careful of everything to be exposed to my child. Hello. And so immediate family, yeah, we good, and even that was limited. Because that child is brand new. And I got to protect everything, every person, everything that comes around that child becomes my responsibility. So everybody won't come. Because the immune system is still not strong. And you talking about smoke outside, you still got smoke on you. Hello. So you got to give that, not only then, you got to give that child, and you also got to give that mother some time to recover. That's the first R. It's the recovery age. Me, it's from birth to the first year. The first year is the recovery stage. It takes the mother and the child that long. I'm going to tell you why. In that recovery stage, it's where you build your child's bond. Your child in the first year develop voices. Preach, Kelstone. And I don't need a whole bunch of people in my house confusing my child. My child need to know my voice and mama's voice. So for the first year, we visit. Hey, how you doing? Keep me moving. My children refer, everybody didn't hold my kids. And they'll tell you now, people come in and like, you want to hold my baby? I'll be like, I'm good. Because you got to protect that. Ain't nothing against the child. Because for 9 months, the child was only developed through your touch, your feel, and your voice. And so for the first year, everybody ain't holding my baby? No. They talked about me. They did. I didn't care. It was my child. So you got to go through that recovery stage to build the bond of you and your child. Then you leave from recovery stage. Year two is the raising stage. That's where I got to train. And hear this. In the raising stage, everything matters. Now, here's the thing you got to watch in the raising stage. While you're raising, you must monitor behavior. Okay? Got to monitor behavior. Because here's what you got to understand. Genetically, there's one person with two of y'all in them. I'm gonna say that again. There's one person with two of y'all in them. Now watch this. And you don't like living with each other. That was for free. You guys don't see eye to eye. So now both of your personalities is in one. Wow. See what you created? Not only genetics, everything. So what happens is, now in the raising stage, please, if you don't catch nothing else, I say this is the most important. Oh God. In the raising stage, atmosphere is important, or environment is very important. Very, very important. Matter of fact, they says the raising stage is from age 2 to age 10. From age 2 to age 10. From age 2 to age 10 is the development state. It's about environment of what you expose your children to. Because they say by the time they're 11, they already then picked up their habits. Am I all right? So from 2 to 10, you got to be careful of what you expose them to. Okay? Everything you expose them to from the age of 2 or 10 now shapes on how they're going to be at 11. But it's still getting dangerous. So think about the atmosphere. Here's what I'm talking about. How are you at home? I ain't saying how you was at church. All y'all look good up in here. How you talk at the house? If you cuss at home, it's in them. If you arguing and always yelling at home, it's in them. Hello, somebody. Your children begin to start picking up your thought process. I'm going to go back to Reese again because he didn't know his daddy's name. So, but being around his daddy, he heard his daddy answer his phone. And every time his daddy answered the phone, what would he say to him? Stone bonded. So one day they're having this conversation. Friends of Darwin are having this conversation with Reese. And they say, what's your daddy's name? He says, Stone Bonder. Like, his name is Emmanuel. No, my daddy's name is Stone Bonder. Where he get it from? The environment he was around. So watch this. This is why you got to monitor. Listen to me. Monitor the things that your kids say, because the things that your kids say will tell you what they've been around. And some of the stuff they're getting it from you. Or what you're watching on TV. This is why some of the video games are not fit for kids. I just throwing it out there. They're not. Because of the language that's in it. And the violence that's associated to it. And it's shaping the way they think. And so when they go to school, they're going to break out Fortnite. They're going to break out Call of Duty. That's what they're around. And you're wondering, man, what in the world? That's what they're exposed to. Am I preaching okay? Wait, Dad. And it's shaping the way they think. From 2 to 10. This is why you got to be careful on what you put around them. Now, we got some work to do. As parents, if you crazy, you will get crazy kids. Unless they get delivered. Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you. Lord Jesus, This is so passionate for me. It's so touching for me. Because I look around and see all these innocent babies. Innocent children. That has no clue about life. And they're in the hands of parents that's just as clueless. And we got to change that. Let me give you these things. Let me get out of here. Every household in this church should be talking to your children about their relationship with God. It should not have to come from this pulpit. If the only God some of your children are getting is on Sunday, you're missing it. If they can go to sports every day, they can hear about Jesus every day. You talking about you're going to church them to death? You ain't sporting them to death. My granddaughters, I really go from one sport to the next sport to this sport to that sport, then sometimes doing two sports at the same time. Are you hearing me? But then what happens is, I'm going to get in trouble right now. Told you I was going to help you, right? Here it is. Hey, your help. Children should not have options on whether they work in church or not. I don't like the usher. I ain't like it either. I don't want to sing in the choir. I don't want to feed you. Okay, I'm in the wrong church. You don't give them options. No, this for me and my house, we serve, this is what we do. My kids came up with that. When it was coming up, they was coming up. We're in church all the time. Ain't no other kids ain't there. They other kids don't live here. We go to church on Monday, Wednesdays, and Sundays, and two services on Sundays. Yes, we did. And they felt like they were being church to death. Lord, gee, we always got to go to church. Yep, that's what we do. And then Rachel Ray, I don't care if it's Uncle Billy's day. She remembered that. That was, they tried that with me. Talking about, it's Uncle Billy's day. It's on a Saturday. It's Uncle Billy's day. We got church. We got church. He ain't your uncle. Who Uncle Billy? Go find it. He ain't sent a check here. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Just doing this Uncle Billy's Day. All the kids I go to school with, they go to Uncle Billy's Day. I want to know, we got church. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I'm telling you the truth. We got church. We going to church here. You remember that day? See, she was a gangster. She tried to play tricks with me. That's what she tried to do. So what she did was like, well, I really live in two houses. I live with you and Martin. I also live with Brenda then. So what I'm going to do is move over here so I can go to Uncle Billy's day. That's what she did. I remember. She moved out of my house, went on to the Brenda tomorrow. I live over here now. So I can get permission to go to Uncle Billy's day. Told you kids are clever. But my point is, I didn't give my children options. And they hated it. They did. They ain't like it. They ain't like it. Tell me, oh my God, we got to go to church. Yes. And when they got grown, they tell me, well, I'm grown now, we ain't got to go to church. You still live here. I'm saying, you know, you ain't got to go to church, but I leave here at 9, and I'll be back about round 2. As long as you find somewhere else to go between those times, you fine. But you ain't going to be standing up in here while I'm in church. You up in here. No, we going to church. Why? Here's because. This is the thing. Here's the thing. Is that when it comes to the things of God, you cannot leave it up to them to get it. The world is fighting for them. And the world is throwing stuff on. And you think they're going to pick God? You think they're going to pick God with all the stuff that the world is throwing at? Do you really think that they're going to pick God? Well, they got to love God. They don't know to love God. They're only basing God's love on you. And you halfway don't want to come. So they don't know that they need. Listen, they don't know. When I was young, I didn't know I needed God. God was like, pray on my food. Father, we thank you for this food. I'm ready to eat in Jesus' name. Oh, you pray before you went to bed. I didn't know that one day I was going to grow up and have kids of my own, and they were going to drive me crazy, and I won't go have money. I was going to be broke. I didn't know all of that. But when that happened, I was like, man, I need God. Your kids, they're not going to know that. They're not going to know. They don't know about reverence and servants to God. Mama said, no, you're going to sing in the choir. I don't want to sing. No, no, you're going to sing. Mom, I can't sing. You're going to stand down there and do something? Why? Because you got to reverence God some type of way. And we won't give it options. I think it worked out pretty good for me. Oh, I strayed. But it was put in me. It was put in me. So I didn't have to go searching to find God. No, I'm like, nope, mama already told me where was that. So what I'm saying, as parents, understand, you got to set a path for your children. So we talked about that raising. Okay? And then from 11 to 18, from 11 to 18 is those years of restoration for your children. Restoring. It is now preparing them to leave your house one day. And then when they turn 18, they call it the releasing. They turn them loose. These are hard things. Because you know why? This might rub some of you all the wrong way. But, you know, I will tell you this. What I'm going to tell you now, I didn't master it. If there was anything in my life I could go back and redo again, parenting would be the first thing. It would be one of the first things I could go back. If you want to say, well, what are some of your bigger regrets? Parenting. It's so many things I wish I would have did different as a parent. So many things. Because I understand now biblically, when I look at the Bible and the teaching, and I understand God being our Father, I understand on how important it is about setting direction for your kids. It is bad parenting that my child is 18, graduates from high school, and say, I don't know what I want to do with my life. That's a reflection on me. I knew it was going to get quiet right there. Other cultures are not telling their children, you can be anything you want to be. You know what they're doing? Here's your path. Walk this path. Isn't that what Jesus did to us? He says, here's your path. He didn't say, well, do whatever you want to do. No, he says, here's your path. As a parent, set the path. What path you got your child on? So by the time they turn 18, they already know what their path is. They can say, nope, this path is already made for me. If I could go back and change that as a parent, I promise you I would. I would set the path for every single one of my kids. We were having this conversation. I says, you know, children don't become engineers out of luck. A path was set. Doctors don't become doctors out of luck. A path was set. As parents, what path are you setting for your children? Is it turn up? Is it fashion? What path are you setting? What path? What path? What direction? Because here's again, because you cannot set direction without discipline. No, we don't. We had this thing when my kids were growing, we had this thing and said, we don't do that because we're stones. And they used to tell me, that don't make sense. Well, it will one day. we don't do this. This is not what we do. No, I don't care what nobody else is doing. This is not what we do. What path are you setting? What mixed signals are you sending? Are you saying one thing to your child, but they see you do something else? Are you? Because some of us are sending mixed signals. We are saying, this need to be done. But then they see us over here. You can't send those type of mixed signals. You got to understand that when you say something, you got to say, no, this decision I'm going to make is not just for me, but it's going to be for my child. It's going to be for my grandchildren. They got to see it in this parameter. And I understand that, guess what? There might have been a lot of mistakes I made in my life, but guess what? Every single one of my children are going to know that when it comes to chaos, he loved God. I wear it on my sleeve. It's all the way around me. Everywhere they, I'm making sure that God, and then they'll say, oh, well, you can't church them to death. The world is whirling them to death. Why can't I church them to death? The world is whirling them to death. The world throwing everything they can, and we're trying to compete with that, and we're losing. I promise you, I wanted to do it so bad. I promise you, I wanted to do it so bad. Aunt Teresa, I wanted to do it so bad. I wanted to get all our children. Just ask them some basic Bible questions. I wonder, could they tell me? I said, I wonder, could they tell me who Jesus' disciples were? I wonder, could they tell me who his mother is? I wonder, could they tell me that Jesus, what he did for them, like he died? Do they know why he died? I just wonder. But I guarantee you, here's a statistic, proven fact. Now, don't judge me. But the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles won. Congratulations to you, Eagle fans. Y'all got your win. But I got some sad news for you. More people are talking about the halftime show than there is the game. And don't y'all judge me, okay? Until the halftime show, I had never heard who Kendrick Lamar was. That was like Kendrick Lamar. I was like, who is that? Where he come from? And they would be like, he been around. I'm like, oh, he was the one who dissed Drake. Who Drake? It just ain't my thing, okay? Now, don't judge me. I was like, they was like, you don't know Drake. No, I don't know who. Is he somebody I need to know? I was like, who Drake? Yeah, you know, him and Drake, they're having this. And so after the halftime show, you know, I talked to a couple of people, and they was like, well, how do you like the halftime show? I said, well, I got to go back because, you know, I have to listen to rap music like 20 times for me to break down all the words. You know, because he'd be like, I hear words every now and then. And so, you know, I said, I got to go back and I got a problem. But my point is that our young people, our younger generation was so involved, Super Bowl over, and it's still trending. Because now everybody talking about Drake going to get him back. I wonder what you're going to do. And I'm over here telling me, what was Serena Williams doing in there? I'm trying to put it together. And they was like, she used to date Drake. I'm like, when? She played tennis. But she used to date Drake. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And after they kept telling me to the story, I'm like, and I got to preach Jesus over all this? I got to preach Jesus to a teenager over top of Kendrick Lamar and Drake. And they talking about they not like us. And the fashion. And all the dance moves. I got to come in here and preach Jesus over that. To our young people. Y'all looking at me because you know what you're saying? Pastor, that's going to be hard. You know why? Because they hear more about Drake and Kendrick Lamar than they do Jesus. And they know more about Kendrick Lamar and Drake than they do Jesus. I'm serious. Because the world, catch this, the world always got a storyline that grabs their attention. Because if they go to social media, it's there. Do you know how many, I'm going to say kids, but it was some grown folk, that was hurt when TikTok went down that time? That was probably like, oh my God, TikTok. Oh, Jesus. And I was like, where's, I wonder do they do that if they don't have their Bible? I'm going to put you on the spot. We're in church, don't lie. I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of you read your Bible every day? Raise your hand. Read your Bible every day. Look around. How many of you kids read your Bible every day? How many kids read the Bible every day? Reese got his hands up. Well, he go to a Christian school, so he's going to read it every day. Let me ask you this. How many of you kids got TikTok? Raise your hand. How many kids? Come on, kids. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. If you got TikTok, raise your hand. How many of you are on TikTok every day? Raise your hand. Well, then they don't want to do it. I should have did this in the beginning. They were like, Pastor, you ain't going to get us now. You didn't already got us. Here's what I'm saying. And I'm not putting this on our young people, and I'm wrapping it up. I want you parents to understand that what they are becoming is your responsibility. It's on you. It's on you. When people run around here, and I never understand it, they run around here talking about how bad these kids dressing. These kids just dressing terrible. They ain't got no job. They ain't got no job. Somebody bought that. They ain't got no job nowhere. And you were telling me, no, man, it's just too tight. Where they working? It was tight when you bought it. Hello? So you got to understand, they are your responsibility, and you're going to have to say, I got to change some stuff. Oh, I got so much more in my notes. I got so much more. I got, for you single parents, raise your children before you decide to date. You looking for a man, you tell me, raise your children. Raise your children. You ain't talking about you looking for something, I need love. No. Raise your children. If you raise your children, a man will come. If you raise your children, a woman will come. But we're not spending enough time raising our children. And it's because we parents have got caught up in so much other stuff. Because you on social media. You're caught up in Drake and Kendrick and Kanye. Pray for Kanye in Jesus' name. That brother needed it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We as a church, How am I supposed to take 2 hours on Sunday morning, and I'm finishing, and compete to what the world is doing 24/7? You know, that's why our kids don't want to come. They don't want to come to church because they don't love God. They don't want to come to church because the world has attracted them to so many other things. And whatever is spending the most time to attract me, that's where I'm going to put my attention. Because that's who's fighting for my attention. Where do you give your attention? You give your attention by who fight for it the most. So we're talking about family. So that's why I told my wife, I says, here's a secret. I said, you control me through your attention. Watch this. Every woman need to understand. You know how to get your husband attention? By giving him attention. attention. That's how you get. When you give me attention, you grab my attention. And when you're saying, well, something else got your attention, it's because you ain't been giving my attention. I know y'all don't like it. Well, don't, trust me, it's better preaching coming. It's coming. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I need you to grab that. Is that, and it's not, it works the same way, brother. You know, you got to give her attention to get attention. Because whatever grabs my attention is where I'm going to spend my time. Hello? So you got, if in order to increase something, to get something more from something, you got to give more attention to it. That's business. If you want your business to grow, you got to get more attention to it. If it's something that you want to grow, it's going to grow based on your attention. If you don't get no attention to it, it ain't going to grow. You want stuff to grow without attention. We call that microwave. Put it in, put it on one. Pull it out, it's hot. But it took all the nutrients out. It's hot, but it ain't good for you. Because all the enzymes and came out of it. Because it wasn't designed to be microwave. It was designed to be cooked. But we ain't got time to cook because cooking requires for us to pay attention. And we don't have time to pay attention. We want to put it in the microwave, put it on one, and them noodles are ready. I love our children. I want every one of our children to know I love everyone. I was so proud of our children yesterday in the pageant. I really was. I was so proud of every one of them that walked down that aisle and strut that stuff. Well, it was great. But I need you parents to understand that these children, they need your attention. They need you to say, you know what? I got to set a path, train up. I got to put a path. There are so many scriptures in Timothy and Deuteronomy that talks about setting a path for your child. Because if you don't set one, somebody else will. And your child will become whatever grabs that child's attention. That's what that child going to become. In my closing, this is why, and you fathers, listen to me. Every father needs to hear this. Your voice matters. Your voice matters. There's no woman, no person in the world that can rob you of your voice. You just got to make sure you're speaking to it. Every father should take time to talk to your children. One-on-one. I don't care if they're grown. Call them. Talk to them. Because your voice matters. Every father's voice still radiates in the heart of a child. And this is why some of the world is struggling, because there are so many voiceless fathers. They're not speaking. They're not saying nothing. And you got to make sure that you're speaking in your children. I remember when my babies were at home, every night, never fail. They'd be in the bed asleep. And I would walk the floor at night. Every single night, I would walk the floor, speak over my children. And sometimes I caught them doing stuff. But I wanted to make sure that my voice was radiated in my home. Because I understand as a father, I set their path. Now all of them ain't doing what I would like them to do, that's okay. But the latter part of that scripture says, and when they get old, they will not depart. And here's the part I just shot over. They just ain't got old yet. Because when they get older, they're going to remember. I remember what Daddy said. They're just still young. Keep on living. That's what my mom and them used to tell us. Keep on living. You're going to understand. I went to get out of the car the other day. I was like, yeah, I know what mama used to talk about them legs. It was cloudy and my sciatic nerve got to acting up. I was like, yeah, I remember when they used to talk about them legs, boy. But I need you, fathers, speak over your home. Please, whether your child living with you or not, speak over your children. They need it. They want it. They got to have it for you to radiate over their life. My kids grown. I still speak to them. I speak in their life. Sometimes they like it. Sometimes they don't. That's okay. I'm not trying to, but I got to speak it. Because I love my kids. I love my children. And I understand my God-given responsibility. I told you, if I could do one thing over in life, parenting would be it. I still marry the same woman, but it would be. Yes, sir. I told her the other day, when I says, only regret I have in this marriage. I was down to Charles' house, and I said, this is truth. I says, the only regret I have in our marriage is we don't have a child together. And she looked at me and she said, and if we did, the child would be crazy by now. She said, the world don't need a me and you. I said, since you're going to put it that way, yeah, you're right. But make sure we're giving these children the word. Make sure we're giving them the word. And I need every child to do, I need you to do me a favor. Every child in here, I need y'all to do something in church. I don't usher, sing, clean, do something. Get them involved. By the age of the Japanese, by the age of 8 years old, every Japanese family, by the age of 8, every child knows the whole bills in the house. They know how much the mortgage is. They know what the electric bill is. By the age of 8, they lay the bills out to their child because they teach their children, this is why we work. And so when I say you can't have something, this is why. They teach them that these needs got to be met. So by the age of 8, so by the time they grown, they already understand the necessities of what life is about. 8 years old. I don't never remember my parents doing that. They just tell us what we got to pay bills. We didn't know what they was. By the age of 8, they says, no, I need you to understand it. This is what we do. Take time with your children. Teach them about life. Amen.
You are tuned in. The word is so real, tell a friend. We trying to get right free of sin. You are now listening to